Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
It is important for us to look at and protect women's rights. And, you know, I am the one person who's not in favor of a specific woman's day or in favor of a specific woman's month. I think it should be a 365 event. And when we look at a number of things happening, we should look at it and come up with programs that actually make a difference from time to time. So this week we featured the Women's Legal Center based here in Cape Town, and it's been at the forefront of court battles for women's rights. Notably, for the last 20 years, it was engaged in the fight to get Muslim marriages recognized as being legally binding. And so for the first Saturday in Women's Month, we thought it fitting to invite the director of the Women's Legal Center, Siham Samad, out onto the show this morning. Siham, a very good morning to you and welcome to Cape Talk.
Thank you. Good morning to you and to your listeners. Thank you for having the Women's Legal Center.
You're welcome. You yourself have had a very illustrious career as a legal practitioner, UWC lecturer and a board member of numerous boards. So tell us, where did you grow up and when was this first seed planted to become a feminist lawyer and activist?
Well, I do think, I mean, I grew up in Boerka, which now, you know, is an area that is actually being gentrified. And so I was quite involved in the civic politics, you know, from a young age in the area. You know, trying to get housing, dealing with issues of gender. I then did my articles at the Legal Resource Center. And thereafter, I went to Lawyers for Human Rights, which I worked on the farm worker and land projects. So I did a lot of, and my expertise that I built up was around housing and tenure and land. And then I finished up my master's in evictions, and to have a much more transformative interpretation of rules. Yeah, so that's been my journey, and I've gone to the university and I've lectured there for 10 years, which not your academic teaching, but more your clinical education, where students work on your files and you teach them through practice what the law is. I then went to the Department of Justice and, managed the various courts within the province, especially sexual offences, maintenance courts, domestic violence, dealing mostly with vulnerable persons, and then heading up different government stakeholder networks like Gender Justice Forum, etc. So, yeah, so coming back to the Women's Legal Centre, I think it was just a full circle coming back to civil society and to be able to contribute in a different way, maybe in a better way, towards advancing the rights of women.
And, you know, it's become so important and it's become so essential for us to realize that there are a number of women's rights. And I want you to expound on specifically women's rights. What are the cases that you see at the Women's Legal Center? What are the most important cases that you fight at the Women's Legal Center? And why is it that women are so, like, okay, if I go to a legal center, there might be repercussions for me on the other side, or the courts may not. And the fact that the courts don't actually, when you stand there with a problem that a woman has experienced, the courts don't look at it, you know, in the much more serious way than what they would look at other things.
Yeah. Well, one of the challenges is that obviously the courts are not sensitive to the possible multi-levels of identities or even discrimination which women face. So it is still by nature still very hard, patriarchal, and we need to be able to shift that, especially for victims of sexual-based violence. so that the system doesn't oppress further and ensure that there's secondary victimization. Because we all know women that have been abused, they have to navigate a socioeconomic system, for example, getting onto a transport system where you can also be violated, getting into a police station where you are not heard. Then only your matter gets into the court system, and then you are only but a witness in your entire case. And if you don't have prosecutors, auxiliary workers, social workers, your maintenance officers sensitive to the diversity and complexities of women, then there will be secondary victimization.
Mm.
And those are some of the systemic issues that the Women's Legal Center takes up. So we don't do your day-to-day matters, but we try to see how the system should work for women. And we raise this through our advocacy, our lobbying, our networking. We make numerous submissions to different government departments to be able to ensure that there's change within the system.
Chatting this morning to Siham Samai, is the director at the Women's Legal Center. And it's such an important conversation to have, because two of the big things that women deal with, the very first thing is abuse. And we fight gender-based violence. But if we don't change a system, for instance, Siham, with the courts, and we don't change the maintenance court systems, very often the woman comes off second best when it comes to the maintenance courts. And if you would like to chat to Siham and have any questions for her, you can chat to us on 0214-460-567 or on the WhatsApp line on 0725671567. Now, the centre has done exceptional work on Muslim marriages. Sven, you speak to us about that and the Constitutional Court ruling last month, because It is very difficult when you chat about it. You know, we were victims of this many, many years ago, and that's why today we are not known as Colliers, but we are actually known as Johnsons, because the Muslim marriage was never recognized as a legal marriage. And when you registered your children, the children will be registered on the mother's maiden surname and not on the father's surname. Then also when it comes to inheritance, there were problems. Then also when it comes to divorce, there were problems. My sister walked out of a marriage with nothing. Absolutely nothing, due to the fact that she was not married, and you know, in a court system. What has been the changes, and how far are we with this, Siham?
Yes, we've pioneered this case for almost 20 years to be able to ensure that there's protection for Muslim women. What we have now is that women can, as interim relief, they can go to court in terms of the Divorce Act, to ensure that it's an equitable distribution of the estate.
Okay, it's a Saturday morning, and we're chatting this morning to the Women's Legal Center, based here in Cape Town, and Siham Samai has been at the forefront of court battles, not only for women's rights, but also notably for the last 20 years, it was engaged in the fight to get Muslim marriages recognized as being legally binding. So for the first Saturday of Women's Month, we thought we will be chatting to Siham Samai, who's the director at the Women's Legal Center. If you've had maintenance battles, you've had abuse battles, how did that unfold for you? And of course, where were the challenges that you were able to sort of overcome, or were you able to overcome any of those challenges in terms of where you were and what happened to you? Because very often ladies walk into the court system and they are seen as secondary citizens when they walk into the legal system. And this is why the Women's Legal Center is there as that support link for you, and a support link for you when you need it the most, and advice. Sometimes you don't need anything, but you just need somebody to give you that good advice. Siham, the court ruling in terms of Muslim marriages, and where are we standing in terms of that in the Constitutional Court ruling last month?
Yes. The Constitutional Court confirmed that Muslim women were being discriminated, which, again, because of their religious beliefs and because they married in terms of their religion, they were unable to access the same relief as women in terms of the Marriages Act. So there lies the discrimination. And so the court also recognized the vulnerability of women. And within that, the court said in 24 months that legislation or amendments need to be made to ensure that there's a legislative framework or laws that govern Muslim marriages. And then in addition to that, we know that it's 24 months. And during that period, the women can go to the divorce courts, use the Divorce Act to be able to ensure that there's a proper dissolution of their marriage. So, yeah, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done in the next 24 months as we work on legislation, et cetera, and that we ensure that there is no, that is rights realization for women within an Islamic context, and that that is reflected within the laws or the legislation that is going to come.
And I would want to ask you very quickly, chatting this morning to Siham Samai, she's director at the Women's Legal Center. And I know that this ruling is in terms of Muslim marriages, but there are a number of other traditional marriages also, you know, that that needs to be addressed.
Yes. I mean, there's a few cases that we have done. We, besides the Muslim marriages, within equality in relationships, there was also the one that recognized what we call broadly domestic partnerships, which is women or persons that have been living together for many years, heterosexual couples have been living together for many years, and within that, that they can claim from the estate, even though they are not married. So that case was also confirmed, which is in the Bonia judgment. And then there are also many other cases that we are doing in terms of our violence work, which is the women where we look at women that have named their perpetrators in terms of rape, etc.
Yeah, one of the victories for your center involved in posting was a woman posting on social media. I just want to put it into context for the listeners is that one of the victories for you was this woman involved in posting on social media in a private group that her ex-boyfriend had raped her and she named him. Chat to us about the significance of that particular case.
Well, the High Court vindicated women's rights to speak about their rape experience as a critical way to actually combat violence against women. We know that women go through the trauma of violence differently. And we also know that the system in itself is not protective of women. So many women are not going to the legal system because if you look at the attrition rate, if you have more than 58,000 sexual offences matters, only 7% get through the system and with these convictions. What happens? Can you see the attrition? And so for us, this matter was about a client who was raped and by ex-boyfriend, and she spoke about it, as you've said. And many women do this because the anonymous social media platform in which she named him as a rapist, you know, it's a form of healing, community support from other women with similar experiences of sexual violence. Because many times women sit alone, they think that it only happened to them, there's a lot of shame, there's a lot of victimhood, etc. And so for us, this was our center allowing women the space to speak about their experiences.
Mm. And another case where the Apex judgment enabled opposite sex life partners to inherit interstate. Explain briefly what happened there.
That was exactly what I called now the Bonia judgment, which marriage is often depicted, you know, as the pinnacle of a romantic relationship. However, in South Africa, the legislative framework is influenced, obviously, as we know, by colonialism. So we only have, for example, the Marriages Act. So marriages were seen as a legal right which you had, but the challenge was that in where persons have been living together as a married couple, but didn't go through the formal legal processes, they were never recognized.
Mm.
And we in Afrikaans they used to say it. Sit fast. You know, you take a woman, and the challenge that you set with is that upon death or upon divorce, the solution, and even though the parties have contributed to one another's estate, and there was a responsibility of care or support through maintenance, there was a court case that was done many years ago by us, which was the Fawkes versus Roberts. And that case indicated that the law, that the legislation had to be effected to deal with this domestic partnership. We have now gone back to the Constitutional Court, and the Apex Court has now enabled opposite sex life partners to inherit intestate from, yeah. And which is quite a victory, because we've looked at the previous judgment, which actually indicated that they could not do it. And now women will be able to access, especially if there's children, especially if there's a house, you know, that people have contributed towards, that they will be able to claim in terms of maintenance, etc.
Mm. And then, of course, one comes to same-sex marriages and same-sex relationships, especially where there are children involved in that same-sex relationships. And inheritance, it just seems to be such a lot to chat about. Siham Samai chatting to us this morning, director of the Women's Legal Center, and chatting about women's rights and what the center does. Siham, there's so much more that the center has achieved, and we're sure that you'll achieve quite a lot. If you, you know, personally, it must take a lot of hard work and determination to stay on top of your game. There must be a lot of pressure because, as I indicated earlier on, until we start leveling the playing fields in terms of leveling the playing fields, but just leveling the situation in terms of how a woman is treated when, and I'm taking a very simple example here, Siham, how a woman is treated when she walks into a maintenance court. And we're talking a very basic court here. We're not even talking constitutional court or, you know, high court or anything. Just a gender-based violence case in a magistrate's court, for instance, you know, or for instance, maintenance and women who battle with maintenance on a daily basis. And they know this guy's driving a flashy car. They know that he's got a house. They know that, you know, the new wife and the children are going to private school. Why is it then so difficult? Why are we not just leveling these playing fields? And how do you handle that pressure, Siham?
Well, that is the inherent systemic challenges in our legal system. But we do have many laws, which we've got the Maintenance Act, we've got the Domestic Violence Act, we've got the Prevention of Harassment. But when we take these laws, and when it comes to implementation, you need to have all stakeholders working together. And it doesn't just start by the court. I'm going to give you some of the examples, especially during lockdown. You had women having to navigate, get onto a taxi during that particular period, with the abuser in the house and have to get to a police station. They have to get an interdict. And these are all socioeconomic activities that keeps women away from the court. Because you can be abused on the taxi, abused in the bus, on the train. And these are things that women have to navigate to even get to the court system. When you get there, do you have a sort of maintenance officer that understands that this woman has to navigate coming from her abuser to this particular process? So there are maintenance officers, and I want us to look at the positives within the Maintenance Act. Because when people have knowledge, they will be able to access. The Maintenance Act allows the maintenance officer to look at the bank accounts. They've got access to debt companies to be able to see and track what you have and where you are situated. They have maintenance officers that will help you complete the form and also assist you after you have received the order to be able to get your maintenance. When there are challenges with regard to paternity, the court pays for paternity tests, and many people don't know that. Because that is another mechanism how men dispute their liability for maintenance. And women think, oh, how am I going to prove that this child, because it costs a lot of money. But if they approach the court manager or the maintenance officer, that can be done. If you have the person's ID, etc., you can go to the maintenance investigator and they will find, or should at least find, that particular person and they will be able to assess whether or not you can get a garnishee order, which is sending the order to the employer so that the deduction can be made from the salary. You can attach the person's pension for arrear maintenance. And these are all things that women need to know that they can claim. But it is, obviously, it's very difficult if you don't have the knowledge.
And also, as you mentioned, you know, those socioeconomic challenges of actually just getting a bit of money so that you can get to court and then sitting there the whole day, and fighting the battle, not only fighting the battle for the children that you've got, but fighting the battle for the children or, who fathered these children. You know, he's there, and he has that accountability. And Siham, I want to turn down to something lighter. What are you reading at the moment, and what kind of music? What does a day look like for you? What are you going to do today, let's say?
Well, today, at this point in time, actually, I'm studying. So there's a lot of reading that I'm doing on maintenance, but within an Islamic context. So that has been my reading for the past couple of months. But just on a more lighter note, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, I'm currently trying to do the 5 a.m. club and to be able to see how my day can be much more productive. Women's Legal Center also has a very good wellness program where we try to incorporate meditation and yoga. It started during lockdown because we understood that mental health is important for the work that we do. And so I do believe in those extra activities just to ensure that your health, your mental health in particular, are taken care of. Today, I love club rugby. And I tend to just Saturdays, if I'm not out of Cape Town, just sit on the stand and just scream for your local club. I think it's important for us to be connected with our communities and with our family. My family is a strength. It is it's my rock. And you know, we tend to get together regularly just to be, and I think that balance is very important, especially if you do this work. It is not easy on our lawyers, especially if you go up against, conservative religious customary, organizations.
Yeah, it must be difficult.
We get stressed.
Yeah, you get terribly stressed about it. So you need to break down. Well, tomorrow morning it's a consistent and a cup of coffee or a cup of tea first thing in the morning. Chatting to Siham Samai, director at the Women's Legal Center. Siham, your advice for young aspiring feminist lawyers in this month specifically?
Well, I would say that they should continue being bold, continue being loud, continue reclaiming the spaces that is ours, and that we should use this Women's Month to, you know, there's a simple logo that I have, just, you know, as you pull, you rise. As you rise, you pull. And it's very important that we open up spaces of care and safety for women. And I want the young women to understand that we are all here as in solidarity, as a collective, as divine feminists, and that we should continue creating safe spaces.
Siham Samai, thank you so much for your time this morning. Thank you for chatting to us. She is the director at the Women's Legal Center.